Everyone hear me? Okay. It's great to be here, and it's a privilege for me today to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning. I appreciate the encouragement for Biagio, our brother who did the communion. He did a great job. He's, of course, Italian. And I'm not sure next week will be as friendly if Italy beat England in the World Cup. But he can be secure. We are a friendly bunch. No division in God's kingdom. It's great to be here. And today is actually my first multimedia sermon. If you're from my generation, your 13-year-old knows more about computers than you ever do the rest of your life. So I really want to thank Luke for helping me put this message together. My son. If anything goes wrong, then, you know, I take full responsibility. And my daughter Amy as well. Yesterday I was in the car just going through the sermon, and she was wailing like a baby, and then she made the sound of a phone ringing, and then she started coughing and sneezing. I said, Amy, why are you doing all of this? She said, I'm just getting you ready for your sermon in case I have any distractions. You know, you won't be fazed, you won't be put off because you already have. That's good, so I'm fully prepared. But I do want to extend a warm welcome to some special people visiting today. I've got a colleague from work today. I'm not going to ask them to stand. I'm just going to really thank them for coming. Anthony. And the best man at my wedding, Dave Bill. I really appreciate him being here today. Dave got me through what was quite an intense day when I got married. And he's just the personification of calm and peace. And, you know, it really, really helped me because obviously I've never been married before, but I wasn't really sure what I was doing, but it was great to have a best man. But also somebody very special today, that's the most special person to me today, is my mother. My mum is visiting us from Nigeria, and it's so strange. Last week, Jack's mum was here, and he was able to. It was great just to hear about his mum. And I really appreciate my mother. You know, my mother raised myself and my brother by herself. My dad unfortunately passed away when we were quite young. She was in a country that's not her home. We were in England. We're not originally from England, from Nigeria, as you can tell from my accent. I was born here, but just growing up myself, having two children myself, I really appreciate her sacrifice and the hard work and the effort it takes to raise children, especially on your own. It's hard enough when there's two of you, but especially on your own. And my mum took us to the local church that was at the bottom of our road. It was she that started, really sparked off my faith. In fact, my mum had this Bible, and in this Bible were incredible watercolor pictures. And I used to sneak into a room and just look at the pictures. And I was really fascinated by the pictures of Noah and the Ark and David fighting on behalf of faith, fighting Goliath. And that really started some things, sparked off some things in me about God and faith. My mom doesn't actually know I used to sneak into her room, so I'm just getting it all out there now. And she put me through law school, and you know, I'm here today because of her. So much respect to my mom. So today we're going to be talking about with power and deep conviction. And we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. All right, works. Thank you, Luke. Chapter 1, verse 4. So I have the main scriptures of my sermon on the slide here. If you don't get a chance to follow on in your Bibles, hopefully you can read it on the projector. It reads, this is a message from Paul to the Thessalonians. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. I really want to focus on deep convictions today. You know, in the Oxford Dictionary, a conviction is defined as a firmly held belief or opinion. And Paul had deep conviction about the gospel. When he shared the gospel, he wasn't just passing on information. The gospel to him was a message that was focused on Jesus' death on the cross, a salvation through faith, not through works. It changed Paul's life in an amazing way. The gospel transformed him from a sinful, self-righteous, self-gratifying individual to a man who was so grateful for a second chance that in 2 Corinthians 6 he could boast about being a servant of God and delighting in imprisonments, riots and beatings so that he could enrich others with the gospel message. When someone has a deep conviction about something, they can't hide it. And it doesn't take long for it to surface. And the other thing about deep convictions is that they impact other people in an amazing way. One man's deep conviction that all people are created equal can change the destiny of an entire race, ending discrimination and segregation and inequality. So that what was once unimaginable becomes possible. Another man's deep conviction that all people are not created equal, that some are better than others simply because of the color of their skin, can cause untold suffering and misery to millions. Every single person in this room has a deep conviction about something. A few weeks ago, I was talking to someone in the church who mentors young boys excluded from education in the borough of Newham. And as I talked with her, it was obvious she had a deep conviction about what she was doing. She was doing it in her spare time. She was impassioned. She was zealous. She spoke about the causes. She spoke about the solutions. In fact, I think I would have still been there speaking to her if I hadn't had to go and get my children. And you might say, well, I'm a pretty chilled individual. I'm kind of middle of the road. I live and let live. But you have deep convictions about something. If I were to ask you, which football team is the best? Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea or Man United? What would you say? Why is Chelsea the best team? I hear from Wallace. Deep conviction. What about who should run the country? You know, David Cameron, Ed Miliband, Nick Clegg. I haven't put Nigel Farage up there, but, you know, who knows? UKIP. But billions of pounds are spent. There are programs on the television, on the radio, in newspapers about who should run the country. And people have deep conviction about these things. Got one for the teenage boys? Who's the best singer? Is it Zayn? Liam? Harry? Okay. Okay. All the teenage boys are going, I do not know those individuals. I only listen to indie music and clean hip-hop. But people have convictions about all kinds of things. Maybe you're not interested in sports or politics or pop. Is this right? This is a picture of some of the girls that were captured by a Muslim group in Nigeria called Boko Haram, who believe that Western education is forbidden. Do you have a daughter or a sister? Sorry, Max. Or a niece? What if someone adopted them from their school and allegedly sold them off for £8 to be some man's wife? You may have noticed in this picture that there's only about 100 girls in that picture. There's over 200 girls were abducted. Still haven't been found. So where are all the others? If you're a parent, what are you going through? If someone tried to justify this, you would find some deep conviction, wouldn't you? You would say, what you've done is abhorrent and wrong We all have deep convictions. And yet, sport, politics, your opinion on things like fair trade, arms, all of those things have no eternal significance. And you know, on Judgment Day, God isn't going to say, you know, you didn't follow my word, you didn't believe in the gospel, you didn't put my words into practice, but I really like your position on third world debt. You're a big believer in equality and diversity. You know, if equality and diversity could get you into heaven, the civil service would all be there. You're an Arsenal supporter, why didn't you say, come straight in? Well, you voted Labour, that's great. It doesn't work that way. And yet sometimes you have more passion and energy about things that don't have any eternal consequences or significance than things that really do. You know, people are more impassioned about where should Wayne Rooney play for the World Cup in England than should I confess my sin. We're more concerned sometimes about impressing our bosses, being on time, being committed to being punctual, than being committed to pleasing our Heavenly Father. Coming to church on time, being committed to the meetings, really doing our best because of what has been done for us. You know, the question is not whether we have convictions, but whether we have them in the right areas. Let me throw out a few areas for you. Is there a God? Is Christianity the only way to God? Is the Bible the word of God? Should I follow it? Should I give the best of my time and effort and my money for the cause of the gospel? Should I tell other people, including strangers, about my faith? Should I do that? Or is it each man to his own? These are the areas we need to have deep conviction about. You know, there are three groups of people when it comes to deep convictions, I believe. There are those people who have no deep spiritual convictions. There are people who have beliefs, but not deep conviction. And there are people who have deep convictions that influence and affect the way they live. Which group do you think has the biggest problem? It's actually not the group who have no spiritual convictions. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus addressed the church in Laodicea and he said, I wish you were either hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. Jesus actually preferred people who were cold than those who were lukewarm. Because a cold person can change, he can repent. Paul was very cold about the gospel. You know, in Acts chapter 9, he asked for letters from the leaders in Jerusalem so he could go off to the church and drag the disciples away and put them in prison. That's not a guy who was thrilled about Christianity. And yet he repented and he changed. He became very different. Obviously, the person who has deep convictions and is living them out is doing great. That's fantastic. But the person who has beliefs but no deep convictions, that's a problem. Matthew 21, Jesus tells a parable about two sons. In verse 28, he says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Cold person. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Both of these sons would have been aware that in Jewish society, it's very, very important to respect your parents. Does anybody know what the fifth commandment is? The Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother so it will go well with you and you may live long in the land. In Matthew 19, when a rich ruler went to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments. Honor your father and mother. So if he asked his second son, do you believe in the commandment, honor your father and mother? He would have said, yes, I do. I really do believe in that command. And he said the right thing to his father. I'm going to go. He said the right thing. He gave the right impression. But did he have a deep conviction? No, because he didn't go and do the work that his father asked him to do. In John 8, verse 31, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's not on the slide, but 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. I'll just read that. We know that we've come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. You know, he sets a theme here. You know, saying the right things, having the right beliefs, saying we know Jesus isn't enough. If we don't obey his word, hold to his teachings, and keep his commands. If we're not holding to his teachings, but merely saying we believe in his words, we have superficial beliefs and not deep convictions that are going to transform us and others. You know, children are a great gauge for us in really determining whether we have deep convictions or superficial beliefs. You know, in my household, I get to do the shopping once a month, which is something I'm excited about. But, but you have to share these things when you're married. So I do the monthly shopping. I go to the supermarket and I see a lot of children. I do it on a Saturday. I see a lot of children in the supermarket with their parents. And I often see a scenario being played out. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was in the supermarket and a child had grabbed some chocolate off the shelf. And the mum said, I'll call the child Johnny. Johnny, put that back. Johnny ignored her. Put that back or you're going to get a spank. I'm going to leave you here if you don't put that back. And Johnny ignored the mum. Why did Johnny ignore the mum? Johnny's figured out the mum may have some beliefs about discipline, but doesn't have deep conviction. If the mother had deep conviction, Johnny would have put the chocolate back. He would have put the chocolate back because very soon he's going to feel the impact of his mother's deep conviction. But when you don't have deep conviction as a parent, your kids know it. They know it. They see through you. In our household, we have a deep conviction about church. We believe it's important to come to church. Why? Because we're in the world. And the world and its values and its priorities will start to affect us. So we need to be connected to the body. We need to be in the church. Secondly, what you do with your time demonstrates your priorities. So if something's important to you, you're going to make time for it. So in my household, if my children have a birthday party to attend on a Sunday morning, they don't ask because they know what the answer will be. And sometimes that's been challenging. Some of the parties they get invited to are real, real fun, really good, lots of money spent. In fact, I wouldn't mind going. They're so good. But it's on a Sunday. And our commitment, first and foremost, is to God. Now, sometimes you'll miss church because you're sick or there's a family engagement. Things happen. But generally, our commitment, our household is, we're going to be at church. We're going to be with God's people. We're going to get encouraged so we can grow and we can be more effective. That's our priority. You know, a couple of months ago, my son and Joel Lamb got an Arsenal football day out. So you get to go to Arsenal and you get to play football with some of the Arsenal kind of trainers and stuff. It was a birthday present. And so they're playing football. And while they're playing football, one of the guys, he picks out some boys, about six or seven of them. He says, I've been watching you boys play. We want you to go to the Arsenal soccer schools where some of our scouts go and watch. And there's potential for you guys to be scouted, perhaps, you know, join Arsenal as an apprentice. And I was really encouraged with that. You know, that their attitude on the day out was really good. They were really giving. Lots of the boys there were trying to show off their tricks, but they were trying to involve other people. They had a great attitude, respect for authority. So we went along to the training, and it was very good, excellently run. I went with Barry Lamb, went with Joe, went with my son. Obviously, they spotted my son's been imitating his dad on the pitch. called him out, you know. It's always good to see. But they were playing, and it's great. And so you go for a little trial first. If you get through the trial, they say, great, you're in. You're going to be in our program, and fantastic. They did well in the trial. They said, great, now you're in. So we meet every once a week for football, for training. You know, you're going to get better and better. We meet on a Friday. I looked at Barry. Barry looked at me. the only other day that you meet. No, we meet Friday evenings. All the parents said, everyone's committed to go into that. You know, it's Arsenal. I had no problem, actually, with it. There was no debate. There were no tears from the boys. We can't do that. We go to church. I was so proud of their attitude. They didn't kind of, Dad, this is my big chance. You know, you're ruining my life. There's none of that. They're like, yeah, Joel was like, no, you know, we're going to church. That's just what we do. You know, so, you know, £30,000 a week of Arsenal. That's what deep convictions are all about. They produce change. You know, even this morning, I would say I got here early, an hour early. Who did I see putting up out the chairs? Leon, by himself. This is about quarter to ten. You know. You don't do something like that as a teenager unless you're committed and tied in and connected with the body. It's important to have deep convictions about those things. Sometimes, though, it's a struggle. Perhaps you're visiting today. You're not really sure what your convictions are. Or you might think, well, I know what I believe. I certainly don't believe in the Bible. Let me encourage you to get with somebody who does have a deep conviction. The fact that you were invited today indicates where they're at. The fact that even somebody would ask you, do you want to study the Bible, indicates this person has something about them. Give them a shot. Open up your mind. Ask all the questions you like. But really try and figure out, do I have convictions in the right areas? Because it's important. It will affect your eternal destiny. Perhaps there's some of us and our convictions aren't where they used to be. Maybe you think, well, I used to have a lot more conviction when I was younger, when I was baptized. I was bolder. I was more courageous. I was more committed. I was more sacrificial. Now, I'm not so sure. Now I just turn up. We can learn some things from the life of Paul about developing deep convictions. In Acts chapter 9, Paul, whilst he was called Saul, had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was blinded for a while, and then God sent a disciple called Ananias to go and lay his hands on him and restore his sight. In Acts 9, verse 17, we read, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who caused havoc in Jerusalem among those who call in his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, how did Paul build such deep convictions? First thing, he spent time with disciples in Damascus. Proverbs 13 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. Paul got involved in the fellowship. He spent days soaking up ideas, learning from others, building relationships, sharing, confessing, perhaps talking about his past. I'm sure that came up. You know, he got the right people around him. And this is what helped the Thessalonians, because the Thessalonians imitated Paul. They imitated his conviction. It didn't end there with Paul, because he didn't just spend time with the disciples talking about the gospel. What else did he do? He took the message on board. What he learned, he started to put into practice, and started to share his faith with others. And the more he shared his faith, the more impact he had. The more impact he had, the more powerful he grew, because he was putting the word of God into practice. As he was doing so, his convictions grew more and more and more, because he saw the word of God work in people's lives in a powerful way. You know, in John chapter 7, verse 17, a verse we all know well, some people come up to Jesus and say, how come you learn all these spiritual teachings without being a Pharisee or a rabbi? And Jesus says in verse 17, actually in verse 16, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. you can't develop deep convictions from the sidelines. You can't stay on the fringes. You have to get your hands dirty. When people question Jesus about how come he had all these spiritual ideas and all this teaching, he didn't get into a theological debate. Well, you don't have to be a Pharisee because Leviticus so and so. No, he said, do the will of God. He didn't say believe the will of God. He didn't say agree with the will of God. Obviously, that's important. He said, do the will of God. The Thessalonians didn't just appreciate Paul's convictions. They didn't just say, wow, he's a really good speaker. I love listening to Paul. I turn up every Friday and Saturday in the synagogue to hear Paul speak. And then I go away, I'm so encouraged. I'm going next week to hear Paul. Are you coming too? That wasn't it. They imitated Paul's convictions. You know, the most rousing team talk in the world will be totally ineffective unless the team is willing to do what the coach says. And unless you have your own deep conviction, you can't do very much. You can't borrow somebody else's and live an effective Christian life. I'm going to show you a clip right now which illustrates this point. So if we just have the lights up, please. And
born from great opportunity.
Back in the driveway, we were nothing.
This is not just a game anymore.
Either we heal as a team, or we're going to crumble.
It's not about winning.
You cannot be afraid to lose.
I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game.
You play like that, we cannot be defeated.
You know what? It still doesn't make us good football players.
Wait a second, guys. Whoever said you had to be good to play football?
Everything y'all done to this point
means nothing if you lose yourself.
You don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
We have to be ourselves.
It's not the ball what I see. It's the ball what you see.
Now it's time to see who has the heart.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
We've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
Follow me. Walk with me out into that field.
I want you all over that ball like a peck.
But you can walk through those doors, hold your heads up high, and call yourselves
ducks.
Ducks fighting!
Pain heals. Kicks deep scars.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
We have the opportunity
to do that, gentlemen.
We will be perfect.
For a bunch of Mexican baseball players, that ain't too bad.
Every one of those teams either won the games they played in or left everything out on the field. And a lot of those clips are based on true stories. You saw there the US ice hockey team that beat the Russians in the 1980 Olympics. There's a team called the Richmond Oilers who in 1999, a failing basketball team, got to the finals of the regional championship. There was a racially divided team who in 1971 won the Washington State American Football Championships. The thing that inspired me about this clip wasn't just the coaches, it was the reaction of the teams. Because they owned the coaches' convictions. They took them on board and they put them into practice. If you're lacking deep conviction, it's because you're out of practice. The Word of God has all we need. if we're willing to act on it, own the words in the scriptures, make those convictions our own, we'll change not only our lives, but the lives of others for all eternity. Amen.
Thanks, Leslie. Most of us can probably say that Leslie preached the sermon of his life. That's Leslie and the family. And the call is for all of us to imitate the call from the scriptures. I know for me personally, it's very a bit like the scene he gave about the mother warning the child in the supermarket, where you hear maybe a word of God and you intellectualize it and you rationalize it away. You think, well, so I'll give an example. Jesus says, repent or perish. And we sit there and rationalize it away. We think, well, I haven't really repented, but maybe God has given me time. Isn't that what we're like? We kind of rationalize, and the word of God may say, it may go and make disciples of all nations. And we think, when I'm ready, I'm sure God will understand when I'm ready. And we rationalize, and we don't allow the full impact of the word to call us to attention. And with every word, forgive. You know, just the word forgive, you say, well, I'll forgive maybe when, where God has said, there's no maybe when. Just forgive. And we hear words from the scriptures, we avoid them, minimize them, dismiss them, and don't just take them for at face value. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. Thanks, Les, for that. Let me encourage all of us to, maybe in your quiet times, to take time to read and then stop and just ask questions about what you've been reading. Does this reflect myself? Or and it's very helpful to meditate and reflect on words and check your heart in terms of a response to the script. So I want to thank you, Les, for that. Thank you very much. We're all going to have deep conviction. We'll all be here on Friday, Sunday, always. Yes, yes. I love the scenes. Let's get excited. Let's get fired up. Not just for football or sports, but we're serving the great God. Amen. Phew, that took a lot out of me. Let's check my pacemaker. Thanks, Les. But let's really have deep conviction and deep passions about the Word of God. Just in closing, in terms of the schedule for the next few days, on Friday, we'll all be here. There'll be a class passes for everyone. So Friday.